So what happened? Can you bring us up to date?
So she went on to receive radiation therapy, and she's actually still on TDM1, but we are trying to plan for what the next step is, because I'm not comfortable stopping the patient, but she does have elevated LFTs and she has some thrombocytopenia. It's still grade one, but just planning, I like to have the next step.
What's her platelet count?
Her most recent was 97. She's in the 90s, but she's not having any issues with it.
Any thoughts about this, and how low does the platelets have to go or LFTs have to be to stop or hold?
Well, if it's grade one LFT elevation, I'm not concerned. The platelet count is fine. Until we get really below 50, I'm not too concerned. But the long-term plans for this patient, are we considering her to be curable? Mm-hmm. Or are we talking about chronic therapy, lifelong therapy? And the way this usually goes is it usually will declare itself in a couple of years, and I tend to, in these extremely high-risk cases, use chronic therapy, mm-hmm. as long as the patient's tolerating it. She's kind of borderline tolerating the TDM1, and this might be a patient where I'd consider switching over to neratinib again, mm-hmm. for the CNS protective effects, and maybe do that for another year and see if that allows her platelets to recover. I don't know.
And I've thought about that now that it is approved, so it is an option in the adjuvant setting. And then there was also consideration of going back to combination trastuzumab, pertuzumab, but she didn't respond very well up front, so I'm very reluctant to do so.
George, any thoughts about the case? And would you be interested in seeing next generation sequencing on her? Is there anything you might, it's certainly an unusual case, but I don't know what you might look for.
Well, I don't know that it's an unusual case in the sense that it's inflammatory breast cancer. And I look at this patient, I go, she was a primary treatment failure on dual antibody therapy. This is really bad breast, mm-hmm. cancer.
Yes.
I don't know, so much unusual, it's just awful. And the awfulness here is likely to come back in fairly short order.
I guess my question is, do we know anything about the genomics of awful cancers?
If we look at what the genomics of HER2 resistance is, I mean, that certainly has been studied. And there are cases, not often, but there are cases where the tumor kicks out HER2 as a driver. There are cases certainly where it picks up other drivers of growth. Those are probably the most common things. There are some, I guess, and Sarah may have better insight on this, some rare cases where the HER2 pocket now becomes mutated, ATP pocket now becomes mutated. But whether or not any of those would actually help you in terms of defining a new treatment, I don't know.
That's exactly the problem. Unless you're looking for a clinical trial of something, for example, if there's a activating PI3 kinase mutation, mm-hmm. and we have this great trial for you, if your tumor has this, great. But I think we're beginning to look at now, how often does next-gen sequencing actually impact clinical decision-making? And it's, I would say, less than 10% of the cases in my own practice. I don't think we're going to find that it's much higher than that until we have more targeted therapies and more basket trials that select patients based on these mutations.